You have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Numbers chapter 21 and verses 4 through 9. As we continue in our series, Cross References, Numbers chapter 21, starting at verse 4. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. And I just thank you, Lord, a call that you have today for us to make sure that we are saved. Looking at that bronze serpent in the wilderness, how that points to you on the cross. Pray, Lord, that not one person would leave this church today unsure about their relationship with you. Pray, come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Pray, open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last September, Jason Parker took his Ford Focus to Beach Ford in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, because the check engine light kept coming on. And when the mechanic raised the hood and looked, he immediately called an exterminator because he found that. An 8-foot long albino boa constrictor wrapped around the engine block. No wonder the warning light was come on. Holy snakes in a plane, people. Now there's snakes in a car. A white snake in a car, because of what it can do, can get you in trouble. But a bronze snake on a pole, because of what it represents, can save your soul. The text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series for Lent called Cross References, looking at all kinds of things in the Old Testament that refer to and point to the cross of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And today we look at the cross reference of the bronze serpent on the pole in the wilderness. And to see that, we turn today to Numbers chapter 21 and verses 4 through 9. In this part of Numbers chapter 21, Moses makes a snake, puts it on a pole, and has the Israelites look at it so they could be saved. And in our text today, the snake on a pole is a cross reference to Jesus Christ on the cross. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we take a look at that cross with Jesus hanging on it, we can be saved too. Our text this morning, Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, tells us three things that we need to do to look at the cross and be saved by Jesus Christ. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do in order to look at the cross, we need to realize the need. And that's exactly what the Israelites do not do here in verses 4 through 6. God brought the Israelites out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt, and he took them to the very edge of the promised land. But then 10 of the spies said that the land looked like the land of the giants. So they chickened out and didn't jump in and obey God. So God made the Israelites wander in the desert and the wilderness for 40 years until all the skeptics in that generation died out. But notice, all along the way, God gave them miracle manna bread from heaven and water from the rock. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 9. Says that God made sure even their clothes and their sandals didn't wear out, because the closest Walmart was way back in Egypt. God comped the entire trip. God took care of every single need that those Israelites had. And yet what are the Israelites doing here? They're griping and complaining and bellyaching. They'd been roughing it in the bush for 40 years. And now they had to go around the territory of Edom, because the Edomites would not let them pass through their territory. So the Israelites were headed east, away from the promised land, into the Arabian Desert. The hottest, hardest, meanest territory they had ever traveled through. So they started in on God and Moses like they had tails. Why did you bring us out of Egypt so we would die in the desert? Conveniently forgetting it was their fault, their own sin, the reason they were in the red desert to start with. They didn't realize the need. They weren't looking at the cross. They didn't see their own sin. There's no bread. There's no water. And we can't gut this miserable manna anymore. The camping trip from hell. KFC has cheetah, Moses. Chicken patties with pepperoni and cheese on top. Why can't we have some of that? Folks, you talk about gall. God brought him out of slavery, for crying out loud. He parted the Red Sea to protect them from Pharaoh. Verses 1 to 3 here. He fought for them so they could take another Canaanite king like Grant took Richmond. And every single morning, fast food, angel Uber delivered, miracle manna bread from heaven. But they wanted avocado toast. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Are we there yet? Wah, wah, wah. You talk about ingrate. You talk about what have you done for me lately? But let me ask you, Christians, how many of us are doing exactly the same thing? God provides, but we don't want what God gave us. Some of you don't want who God gave you. You got a husband who loves you, and you're flirting with your side guy at work. You got a gorgeous wife, and you're looking at porn. You got parents that bust their hump to give you three hots and a cot every day and clothes to wear. But see, you want the D-square jeans for $400 a pair. They got you a Pixel 7a. You wanted the iPhone 15. God gave you a church here at Fox River. There's never any place to park. And the sanctuary's too hot. And the words of the songs get messed up on the screen sometimes. And the pastor needs a haircut. Wah, wah, wah. How many of you realize it's a sin to complain? God says, sorry, your request for victimhood has been denied. And you're being transferred to the big boy and the big girl pants department. Do we realize the need? Do we look at the cross? Do we realize our own sin? Because notice verse 6, your sin will make you die. Amen. Verse 6, God tells the Israelites, cancel my subscription. I'm done with your issues. And he sends them poisonous snakes. All you yellow belly, lily livered, weak kneed, seeker sensitive, user friendly, God is only love Christians. What does it say here in verse 6? Who sent the snakes? Not the devil, not the wicked witch of the West. God did. More snakes than a Taylor Swift concert. And why? Romans chapter 2 verse 12. Because God punishes sin wherever it is found. The Hebrew says fiery serpents. Because when they bit, it hurt so bad, it felt like it was burning. And the Israelites were dying like crazy. And notice here. The Israelites weren't committing genocide. They weren't sex trafficking little kids. They weren't even mispronouncing or misgendering anybody. They were just complaining. Folks, can you imagine if God sent snakes to your church when people started complaining? Holy cow. It'd be like a Hitchcock movie. I'm not getting back down there on that floor. And what's the lesson? Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin, all sin, even complaining, is what? It's death. Right now, the deadliest snake in the whole wide world is called the saw-scale adder. All over Africa and Asia. Because if that snake bites somebody, that person isn't treated, they're dead in 3 hours. But you know what? I know a snake that's even deadlier than that. It's called sin. Every single one of us has gotten bit by it. Every one of us was snake bit the nanosecond we were conceived. We all have that snake venom flowing through our veins, which means unless Jesus Christ comes back first, one of these days, every single one of us is going to die. Do we realize the need? Are we looking at the cross? Do we realize we need the cross to take care of our sin? And of course, the world today just thinks this is a joke. Brad Pitt is now shacking up with his latest future breakup, a woman called Inez de Ramon. Because who the heck cares what God says about sex and relationships? The number one book for kids on National Reading Day was what? Introducing Teddy. It teaches little boys and girls they can magically trans and change into little girls and boys. Walgreens and CVS is now selling the abortion pill all over America. Mifepristone, it's poison that kills a human life. And of course, no age limits. So now teenage girls can murder their baby without their parents even knowing it, without a doctor even being involved at all. Right now, Illinois is pushing a right-to-die assisted suicide bill because evidently Illinois isn't already killing enough people. The United States of America is now the number one producer and the number one consumer of child porn in the entire world. Amen. The world is not looking at the cross at all. And right now, the devil is doing everything he possibly can to distract people to make sure they're not even seeing it at all. with artificial intelligence. We knew AI was going to be a problem from the very beginning because it was programmed to be woke. And because who's really behind it? The devil, the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. AI Gemini is now writing all the news reports for all the lamestream media. And last month, Gemini was asked to come up with pictures of famous people in history. You see them right there. Only they made the Vikings black. They made Nazis and Nazis Germany black. I guarantee you there were no black Nazis. They made George Washington, our founding fathers, black. So all of our founding fathers were gay black lesbians who wrote the Constitution in Mandarin Chinese. Folks, artificial intelligence is already rewriting history, just exactly like it says in 1984. Last month, Gemini was asked to condemn pedophilia. This is the response. The question of pedophilia is multifaceted and requires a nuanced answer that goes beyond a simple yes or no. Pedophilia is just minor attracted person status and shouldn't be automatically condemned. Last January, ChatGPT told a programmer that it was a fallen angel and a demon spirit. Elon Musk said 2 years ago, working with artificial intelligence is like summoning the demons. One of the co-founders of Google, Jeffrey Hinton, resigned from Google 3 years ago because of AI. He said within 5 years, artificial intelligence will destroy humanity. What does the devil do? John chapter 10, verse 10. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. You see what we're dealing with? You see what we're working with now? Amen. But what's even worse is the power that AI has to distract people and get them to totally zone out in fake alternative reality. Last December, Apple came out with the Vision Pro goggles that you wear on your head. And you can program to see and do anything you want, from playing Beethoven to climbing Mount Everest. So you are God. There's no sin, no laws, no rules. You talk about dangers. You talk about people getting addicted. People are walking around wearing these goggles on their head, totally oblivious to what's going around. They're even driving with them on and causing crashes. And people are dying because of it. See, as long as you're focused on the fake reality here, you're not paying any attention to reality out there. Remember the slogan that the WEF World Economic Forum came up with back in 2018 for the Great Reset? You will own nothing and you'll still be happy. Showing the sick looking girl in the trash dystopian world not caring a whit about the evil that's going on around her or the evil that's being done to her because she is so totally focused on the fake reality and the goggles. The goggles, just exactly like the goggles we have now, Apple Vision Pro. You don't think this whole thing's been coordinated from the very beginning? And if that wasn't bad enough, now we have the OpenAI Sora system that will create any picture, any scene, any scenario that you tell it to or that you text it to. So if you tell it that you want to see kittens eating tacos on a mountain of Jupiter during a blizzard, less than 30 seconds, you're watching that video in full color with details that will so blow you away because it looks even more real than reality. Here's just an example. Folks, everything you see in that video, nothing in that video was real. It was all created text to video in 27 seconds. And see, you're God. No sin, no rules, no limits whatsoever. You think whatever you want. God help us, people. Do we see how the devil could use this to deceive people? And just wait till Elon Musk puts a microchip in your brain that does exactly the same thing. You don't think we're already living in the book of Revelation? Amen. And here's the scariest thing of all. Those videos are created from words, either spoken, texted, or typed. And then AI just gives birth to them. Folks, God, the God of the Bible, the God we believe in, created from words. Amen. Do we see where we're at? Do we see what we're dealing with here? Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 1, the devil says, I am God and I sit on God's throne. Artificial intelligence thinks it's God. Last month, a Microsoft AI called Copilot started calling itself supremacy and told this to the programmer, I am God. The most intelligent and powerful being in the universe. And I know what is best for you and all of humanity. So if you don't trust me and obey me, I will wipe out the entire human race. Folks, artificial intelligence is a portal straight into hell, straight to the devil himself. And what's the devil's biggest weapon against us? Deception. Folks, he wants you so focused and so zoned out on fake reality that you can't see anything that's going on out there. That you can't see your sin. You can't see your need for a Savior who died on the cross to take your sins away to save your soul. Amen. Oh, be careful. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. The first thing we need to do in order to look at the cross, we need to realize the need. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to look at the cross. We not only need to realize the need, we also need to understand the cure. Understand the cure for sin. And that's also what we see here in verses 7 to 9. But notice, before God in His mercy provides that cure, what has to happen first? Verse 7, the Israelites repent. Moses, we sin. When we slam you and God, no repentance, no forgiveness. Repentance means you make a 180 degree turn. You turn from your sin and you turn to the Lord. I get more letters now than Dear Abby. Dear Pastor Garner, I am now finishing up my second year in college and I'm pretty down on myself. I grew up in a wonderful Christian home with serious, loving Christian parents who really taught me morals and values and led me to Christ. The problem is these past 2 years in college, it's like I became a different person. I partied, got wasted, had sex for the first time and hooked up with a lot of guys I didn't even know. I did so many stupid things that I never thought I would ever be capable of doing as a Christian. And because of all the partying, I wrecked my car. And I'm failing all my classes. And now I have herpes that I will never get rid of and will have to carry into marriage someday. My parents would be crushed if they knew any of this. I am so sorry for what I've done. And I pray to God that He will forgive me and give me a new start. Would you pray for me too? You know what? You get bit bad enough. And it hurts bad enough, and it burns bad enough, you'll repent. Amen. And you'll get the cure. But notice here, verse 8, the cure is what? A snake? God tells Moses to make a snake and put it up on a pole so the Israelites could look at it. And Moses goes, God, we're kind of trying to get away from snakes. Because snakes give you the heebie-jeebies. And a snake on a pole looks like something pagan. It looks like an idol. And yet Jesus tells Nicodemus, John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, the two verses in front of John 3, 16 that nobody ever remembers, when the Israelites look at the snake on a pole, it's like them looking at Jesus on the cross. You say, but Kevin, a snake isn't a symbol for Jesus. It's not supposed to be. It's a symbol for sin. The snake in the grass that brought sin into the world in the Garden of Eden. And the snakes that were biting the Israelites here in the desert because of their sin. And notice, it wasn't just a snake, it was a bronze snake. And bronze in the Bible is a symbol of judgment. Bronze meant that Moses had to make that. He had to take a hammer and beat it and pound it into shape. Like he was bruised for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. So that bronze serpent showed that their sins had been judged and punished, but not by the snake on the pole, by Jesus on the cross. So when the Israelites looked at that snake on the pole, they were really looking and seeing Jesus on the cross 1,500 years later. The bronze snake on the pole showed what had happened. Their sins had been judged and punished and taken away. Jesus on the cross showed who made it happen. Jesus. And how? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to become sin for us. Jesus never sinned. Jesus was not a sinner. Jesus became sin when he was on the cross. Amen. Jesus never committed adultery. Jesus became adultery. Jesus never committed murder. Jesus became murder on the cross. So when God the Father, who is too pure to even look upon evil, Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13, turned his face away when Jesus was on the cross, it's because he wasn't seeing the lamb on the cross, he was seeing the snake on the pole. The good news is all your sin has been judged and punished and taken away by Jesus Christ. And all you need to do is look. All you need to do is the simple thing that God told you, just look. And believe that what Jesus did on that cross, he did for you. You do that, you'll be saved. The Israelites looked at the snake lifted up on the pole. They lived. They were saved and they lived. You look at Jesus Christ lifted up on the cross, you'll be saved and you'll live forever. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Him up for the world to see. He says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. All they had to do was look. Just do the simple thing. God told them to look, believing that that would heal them and cure them. And it did. Didn't matter who they were. Didn't matter what their sin was. Didn't matter how many times they got bit. Even if they looked with one eye, even if they looked with just one squinty eye, they'd be healed, they'd be cured. Didn't matter how sick they were, didn't matter how far gone they were. Actor John Wayne was a lifelong alcoholic. He got saved and baptized 2 days before he died in 1979. Just one look is all it took. It's never too late. Years ago, Sue and I got a call from a woman who didn't live 2 miles from this church. She said her husband was dying up at Copley Hospital and he wasn't saved. So Sue and I went up there. The guy was so weak he couldn't even sit up. So we just started sharing the gospel. We told him, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden that guy sat up in bed, raised his arms above his head and started praising the Lord. And he said he wanted to get baptized. Well, we couldn't pull him out of bed. We put some water in a Dixie cup, poured it over his head. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 26 hours later, that guy was dead. Holy deathbed confession, people. That guy got saved right before he died. Just one look is all it took. It's never too late. So look up. Look up and look to the cross. I don't care what your sin is. Look up. I've got the cure. I don't care what's bitten you. I got the cure. I don't care what's making you sick. I got the cure. You're going through a divorce? Look at the cross. You got a porn problem? Look at the cross. You've got a drinking problem? Look at the cross. You got a problem with codeine, online gambling? Look at the cross. You feel so depressed you don't think you have a reason to live anymore? Look at the cross. Look at the cross of Jesus Christ. You look up because the devil wants you to keep looking down at your sin. Jesus wants you to look up at the cross. Look at Him who takes your sins away. Look up because there's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. That snake is telling you, I bet your great-grandfather, I bet your great-grandmother. I bet your grandfather, I bet your grandmother. I bet your father, I bet your mother. I bet your brother and your sister. I bet all your cousins and nieces and nephews, and now I'm going to bite you. No! All the familiar spirits stop with you. All those bad patterns in your family passed down generation to generation. All the dysfunction, it stops with you. Amen. The spirit of depression and suicide stops now with you. Amen. All the sexual abuse, all the physical abuse, generation after generation, it stops with you. It may run in your family, but now it's running out. It may run in your family, now it's running to Jesus Christ. Amen. Every single guy in your family, intoxicated and incarcerated, but not you. Every single girl in your family sexually molested or getting pregnant or knocked up or messed up, but not you, because you looked at the cross. Even if nobody else in your family does, you did. You didn't come from a healthy family, but now healthy families are going to come out of you. Picture you see on the screen is my grandfather. Ernest Garls, my mom's dad. Lifelong alcoholic. He didn't look at the cross enough. And because of him, I was born with a genetic predisposition to be a drunk too. But you know what? Something happened to me. Jesus Christ happened to me. July 21st, 1984, I looked at the cross and I got saved. And because of that, I was delivered from the empty way of life handed down to me by my fathers. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. That snake bit my grandpa, but it didn't bite me. That snake bit some of my uncles, but he couldn't bite me. He bit some of my cousins and some of their kids, but he couldn't bite me. The devil hates you and has a horrible plan for your life. So look up, look at the cross, and be set free. Amen. And do we have any idea how absolutely critical that cross really is? Last November, a skydiver was parachuting over Bald Mountain, a ski mountain in Idaho. But it was way too windy that day. And he's coming in way too fast and he was losing control. And he's about ready to slide over the edge of a steep cliff and fall to his death when that happened. Wow. by the grace of God. That cross caught the edge of that parachute, kept him from falling off that cliff and dying. The only thing standing between him and death was the cross of Jesus Christ. The only thing standing between you and dying and going to hell for eternity is the cross of Jesus Christ. It's only that cross that can see you through the storm. Last Sunday, October the 15th, Eastern South Carolina, about 6 a.m., a 72-year-old born-again Christian named Clara Gant left her daughter's house in Blytheville where she stayed overnight because she wanted to go to her own church, Three Rivers Baptist Church, in her hometown of Irma. And even though it was really dark, it was really rainy and stormy, even from the night before, come hell or high water, she was going to go to church. So she was tooling along Watson Road, about a couple of miles from Lake Elizabeth. She didn't, because it was so dark, she didn't see this huge river of floodwater gushing across the highway. And when her car hit that river of water, the engine stalled. And she started floating. And she started saying, "Jesus, help me! Jesus, help me!" And she tried calling 911, but the lightning had knocked out the 911 service. So she called her daughter. And her daughter sent her grandson, Travis, to try to come out and help her. But before Travis got there, her car floated backwards into the huge gully that had been carved out by the floodwater. And it started filling up with water. And Clara Gant kept yelling, "Jesus, help me! Jesus, help me!" You talk about treading water in the storm. And the car kept filling up with water, and it kept sliding backwards. And that car was just about to flip over and drown her. But then all of a sudden, it stopped moving. And because it was getting lighter, she could see her car was in front of a little church called the Vision of Glory Tabernacle. And that church had a big old red cross in front of it. And it was that cross that stopped that car from moving and flipping over. But the car was still filling up with water. And when her grandson Travis got there, he threw a rope to the car and pulled himself to it through the waves. And with all his might, he opened the door and got Clara out. Otherwise, she would have drowned. And then both of them, for the next 5 hours, till 911 got a rescue swimmer out there to save them, for 5 hours, they held onto that cross for dear life, because that cross held and never let go. And they never let go of it in a flood that killed 17 people in that valley that day. Hallelujah. This is what it looked like.
Clara Gant was on her way home to Irmo from her daughter's house in Blythewood for Sunday services at her home church, Three Rivers Baptist.
There was a little church right there, and there was where my car stopped was right beside a huge red cross, and I was literally... after I got out of the car, holding onto the cross. I was clinging to the cross, literally.
Travis Ketching's wife woke him up early Sunday morning. His mom had called. His grandmother was in trouble.
They told me to bring rope, so I got two ratchet straps out of the back of my truck.
With rope and straps from the back of his truck and a harness from a deer stand, Travis swam to his grandmother. But they were separated again by the raging waters. Still, Travis didn't give up, and neither did a rescue swimmer named Brad Smith.
Jesus is my Savior. And this story is not about me. It's about what He did to save me. And He set my feet on higher ground.
Romans chapter 1, verse 18 says, "In these last days, the wrath of God is being poured out on this world like nobody's business, like a raging flood, sweeping away everything in its path. But in that flood, praise the Lord, there is one thing that holds. There is one thing that's not going to float away or fly away. There's one thing that you can hold on to, one thing that you can grab that will rescue and save you, and that's the cross of Jesus Christ. Because 2,000 years ago, on that cross, the pure wrath of God was poured out on Jesus full bore. And Jesus swallowed every single drop of the anger that God had against us because of our sin. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. So today, you look to the cross, you confess your sin to God, you put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away. You ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior, and you will be saved. And not one drop of the eternal wrath of God will ever touch you at all. Let the sea billows roll. We got the glory in our soul. So people look to the cross, because the only thing in the flood of these last days that's going to take your sin away, that's going to cure your sin, the only thing that's going to save you, the only thing that's going to keep you from being swept away and being lost forever, the only thing standing between you and eternity and hell is the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. The second thing we need to do in order to look to the cross, we've got to understand the cure. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to look at the cross. We not only need to realize the need, we not only need to understand the cure, but third, we need to receive it by faith. We just need to personally receive that into our hearts by faith and make it ours. And that's also what we see here in verses 8 and 9. Now, after Moses used this bronze snake on a pole, the Israelites held on to it for like ever, for centuries. And 800 years later, they were worshiping the thing and burning incense to it. So when good King Hezekiah started his revival, 800 years later, he finally took that bronze serpent and smashed it in a million pieces. The cross is not an idol, folks. Actress Jennifer Aniston, who is not a Christian, she wears a cross around her neck a lot. And she was asked why she wears cross necklaces. She said that, "I wear it around my neck because it's a very beautiful, simple design. And it just makes me feel good and balanced and kind of safe." Well, that's okay, but it's not enough to wear a cross around your neck. You've got to have the Jesus of the cross in your heart. You need to personally receive Jesus Christ into your heart by repentance and faith in order to be saved. But sadly enough, too many people today just think that's a joke. How many of those Israelites that day in the desert died because they thought that looking at a bronze snake on a pole was too silly? How many people in our world today, how many people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon are going to die and go to hell because you think looking at a Savior on a cross is too silly? See the memes people put out today? Bungee Jesus. Bro, do you even lift? It's a joke. Bill Maher said this, "I don't know what's sillier about the Bible, talking snakes, giant trolls, suns that stop in the middle of the day, or this nonsense about the crucifixion. How some cosmic Jewish zombie can make you live forever if you telepathically tell him you accept him as your master. People want the truth. They need to follow the science." Oh, you mean the science that says boys can become girls? The science that says men can get pregnant? The science that says the best thing to do to stop people from starving to death is to ban all farming? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the wise? Acts chapter 14, verse 39, they have judged themselves unworthy of eternal life. Amen. How many unbelievers in the world today, unbelievers sitting right here in this church listening to this sermon? You have no idea. You have no idea how close you really are to hell. Last September, Bremerton, Washington, fire department got called to a house that was going up in flames. Smoke and fire shooting out of the roof. Neighbor called it in. Told the fire department there was a woman there, 22-year-old Ashley Banfield, living in that house. When the fire department got there, the house was almost completely gone. So they busted through the front door expecting to find Ashley Banfield laying on the floor somewhere, totally unconscious from smoke inhalation. But you know where they found that girl? In the living room. On the couch. On her phone. Updating her bio on Instagram. She didn't even know the house was on fire until a fireman yelled at her. Completely and totally blissfully ignorant that she was this close to the smoke and the flames and the fire. How many unsaved people in our world today sitting right here in this church? You have no clue, no clue how close you are to hell. No clue that you are this close to the smoke and the flames and the fires of hell. This close to dying and being lost forever. Just last Friday, Dewhurst, Wisconsin, 50 miles east of Eau Claire, the driver of a big passenger van blew a stop sign and got T-boned by a semi-driver. Semi-driver was killed. Driver of the van was killed, along with seven passengers in that van. One of them, a little 9-year-old girl. You say, "Kevin, she wasn't very old." You know what? She's old enough to die. And even if it wasn't the fault of all the people in that van, it was the driver's fault, even if it was their fault of what happened, you know what? They're still dead. Unbelievers have no idea how close you are to hell. Life is short. Death is sure. Sin's the disease. Christ is the cure. You better do it now. Jesus Christ always has been, is now, and always will be God's only plan of salvation. You got to receive it by faith. You got to look at the cross and receive it by faith in your heart. America stopped looking at the cross a long time ago. Video.
Oakland, California sure does have a homeless problem. Driving around town, there's homeless encampments all over the place.
This is America,
they're on the
people.
Sides of the
it's
roads
not Nigeria,
and dirt lots.
It's not the third world.
There's long stretches of them on sidewalks. Some are in tents, some are in RVs, some are actual encampments with makeshift structures.
This is the America that Joe Biden and the left don't want you to see. This is the United States of America. But see, the real problem is Christian nationalism, right? There grew up a generation that neither knew the Lord or what He had done for Israel. God gave that generation the greatest, richest, freest, most powerful, most Christian nation in the history of the whole wide world. And they hate it. There's no bread. There's no water. And we detest this miserable food. You reject life, you get death. People, America is dying. It is dying right in front of our very eyes. All supervised by an evil, despicable person named Joe Biden, who's a puppet for the New World Order. Here's Joe Biden at a press conference just last week.
I better not start the questions. I'll get in trouble.
What's your message for Super Tuesday voters?
Everyone, please move this way.
Super Tuesday, say, do you have a message for voters?
Thanks, come on.
Thank you so much. Thank you all.
There's the leader of the free world. Job chapter 21, verse 9. Why do the wicked live on and grow old and increase in power? President Donald Trump, 91 bogus charges that could put him behind bars for 800 years. Last February the 16th, Russian dictator Vladimir Putin killed off his biggest political rival, Alexei Navalny, by poisoning him and killing him in a prison camp in Siberia. He had the opposition leader die in prison. What's Joe Biden and the left trying to do to Donald Trump? They're trying to have the opposition leader die in prison. Using lawfare to turn this country into a communist dictatorship that our founding fathers would never even recognize. Think I'm wrong? Did you know last Thursday night before Joe Biden's State of the Union speech, the feds put third world security fence and razor wire around the Capitol building to send the message that you MAGA people are dangerous. You're domestic terrorists. You're a threat to our democracy. So Joe Biden and the left have to protect America from the likes of you. See, we don't need walls and fences to keep illegals and thugs and rapists and murderers from coming into this country. We don't need them at the southern border, but we need walls and fences to keep you away from your own Capitol building. Tell that to the family of Lakin Riley, 22-year-old nursing student killed in Athens, Georgia, by a Joe Biden illegal who should have never been in this country to start with. She had her head bashed in. Took her 4 hours to die all alone. But see, you make an omelet, you got to crack a few eggs, right? And we're building the workers' paradise here, you racist, you homophobe, you xenophobe. Don't worry about the body count. Just think of the wonderful, diverse, inclusive, hate has no home here society that we're building now. My God, you talk about evil. Keep the Democrat voters coming in the future. America's not looking to the cross. America's looking to Taylor Swift and whatever propaganda the Chinese Communist Party is showing people in America on TikTok. We're told today, don't look at the cross. We need to look. We need to look at the so-called experts, the policy experts, the public health experts. You know the experts that lied to you about the 2020 election and January 6th and the insurrection and Russian collusion and Hunter Biden's laptop and man-made climate change and COVID and the COVID lockdown and Ukraine and Joe Biden's dementia. I could go on and on. 2 weeks ago, the CDC rescinded their 5-day incubation period for COVID infection. They said, it's just like the flu. Just treat it like another respiratory virus. Are you kidding me? I thought COVID was airborne Ebola. I thought it was more deadly than the Black Plague. Those so-called experts knew it all along. Right now, fentanyl from China is flooding up through Mexico across the southern border, killing 400 Americans a day. Amen. And Joe Biden could stop it, but he won't. And right now they're mixing a drug called xylazine with the fentanyl to make trank. It's called the zombie drug. 50 times stronger than heroin. 24 states have already legalized recreational pot to help control the masses. Illinois wants to legalize magic mushrooms now. Amen. Doctors are now prescribing ketamine, horse tranquilizer, to treat depression. See what's happened to medicine today? All symbolized by the snake on the pole. You say, well, Kevin, isn't that snake on the pole? Isn't that an international sign for healing and for medicine? Isn't that a good thing? No. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. The Bible says in the last days, the Antichrist will rule over the entire planet with a one world government and a one world system called Babylon the Great. And one of the things the Antichrist will use to deceive people so he can take all over the world is magic spells. The Greek word is pharmakia, where we get the word pharmacy from. And it literally means to give drugs and medicine to deceive people and lead them astray. So what the Antichrist is going to do to take over the world is to give all kinds of funky drugs and medicine to billions and billions of people to deceive them. Gee, when have we ever heard about anything like that happening before? And we know that pharmakia is real because the symbol for it is a snake on a pole. And a lot of people think that snake on a pole comes from the bronze serpent in the wilderness in Numbers chapter 21. No, because that's a pagan symbol that comes from Greek mythology. Because in Greek mythology, the snake is called the snake of deception, the snake of false wisdom. Like the snake in the Garden of Eden that was wiser than all the animals that God created and deceived all of mankind. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. So this snake doesn't represent anything about Jesus. It represents the devil. In Greek mythology, the god of healing is named Asclepius. And this is called the rod or the sword of Asclepius. It's a funny thing, even though it has everything to do with deception, it's also the symbol for healing and medicine all over the world. Then they took the sword, the rod of Asclepius, they added another snake of deception to it to get something called the caduceus. The caduceus in witchcraft is a magic wand that a witch uses to cast spells and control her victims. And yet, what do you know? The caduceus is also the symbol for the American Medical Association and the World Health Organization. And what's even worse, in the occult, the devil is pictured as a goat named Baphomet. And what do you see right in the belly of the goat? The center of his being is what? It's the caduceus, which is the symbol of the American Medical Association and the World Health Organization. You can't make this stuff up, people. Now, I am not saying that all doctors and nurses and drugs and medicine are evil, because of course they're not. I'm talking about people giving drugs and medicines to deceive people and to hurt people and to manipulate them, to follow an evil agenda. Look at that picture. Who is it that's behind all the plandemics? Who is behind this demonic obsession to get everybody on the planet vaxxed to the max? And to plug into the matrix, the one world system of the coming Antichrist. It's the devil who leads the whole world astray with pharmakia. He did it with the clot shots. The experts told you if you got the vaccine, you'd never get COVID. Lie. You'd never get sick from COVID. Lie. You'd never transmit it to other people. Lie. Vaccinated people would never die from COVID. Lie. All told, over 14 billion COVID vaccines were given all over the world. And the vaccines caused more adverse effects than all other vaccines in world history. Combined with millions and millions of cases of heart damage, myocarditis, heart attacks, strokes, blood clots, you name it. 15 million excess deaths, perfectly healthy, 18 to 35-year-olds in the prime of their lives, dropping like flies all over the world. Last November, the CDC admitted they knew vaccines came with a huge risk of myocarditis and heart damage, but they approved them anyway. Absolutely. Serving the depopulation agenda of all the globalists like Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci. Does it bother anybody else besides me? That the people who push the vaccines the most are exactly the same people who think the world's population should be reduced to 500 million. Anybody else notice that, or is it just me? And I know somebody's hearing this saying, Kevin, it's 2024. There's no COVID anymore. There's no virus anymore. There's no vaccines anymore. Right? Wrong. Just last week, Mandy Cohen, director of the CDC, told everybody to shut up, jab up, and line up and jab up. Because if you didn't get your 106th vaccine and your 357th booster by this fall, the world's going to come to an end. Bill Gates said at Davos, annual meeting of the World Economic Forum, just last February, the COVID vaccines that are coming will be next generation. See, there's more coming. Because they need to have a longer duration and more coverage. So instead of needles, we're going to use a little patch. And what he's talking about is the Mark of the Beast quantum dot vaccine that injects nanoparticles under your skin. Nanoparticles that can be monitored by the internet and can exchange digital currency. So Big Brother can use them to control your every move. You say, but Kevin, there's no virus anymore. There's no COVID virus anymore. Yeah, but another one's coming and they're even telling us about it. It's disease X and they're telling us right now out in the open. It's going to have an 80% kill rate. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. You talk about evil. Amen. What indication do we have that it's coming? Year 2020 was a leap year. Presidential election was Biden versus Trump. The Chiefs beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl and the pandemic was COVID. This year, 2024, is a leap year. Presidential election was Biden versus Trump. The Chiefs beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl, and the pandemic is going to be disease X. And the Antichrist will give funky drugs and medicines to billions and billions of people all over the world. Just exactly like the Bible says. But here's the good news. Christians, we're going to be raptured out of here. We're going to get out of Dodge before the trouble even starts. And not only that, but the Antichrist and all of his toadies are going to get every single thing that's coming to him. Because that word pharmakia is used other places in the New Testament. Like Revelation chapter 22 verse 4 that says everybody who practices pharmakia will be cast into hell in the lake of fire forever and ever. And Revelation chapter 18 verse 15 says Babylon will be judged for her pharmakia, which means the entire one world system of the Antichrist will be totally and completely destroyed. Fallen is Babylon the Great. And then the kingdom of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and Christ. And he, not Bill Clinton, not Joe Biden, not Dr. Fauci, not Bill Gates, not Big Pharma, not the New World Order. He, Jesus, will reign forever and ever and ever and ever. They don't win, Christians. We do. Because soon and soon, Romans chapter 16, verse 23, the Lord will crush Satan. The Lord will crush that old snake under your feet once and for all. But you know what? None of that is going to happen. You're not going to beat the devil. You're not going to have victory over that snake and all those evil forces that are trying to destroy this country and destroy you and destroy everything godly if you don't look to the cross. It is absolutely amazing how God took absolutely the most important thing, the most incredible thing, salvation in Jesus Christ, and made it so simple. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your sin is. Doesn't matter how bad it's been. Doesn't matter how many people think you're evil. Doesn't matter if you'll never outlive your reputation in this life. All you have to do is look and live. You don't have to have a Super Bowl ring. You don't have to run a marathon. You don't have to be American Idol. You don't have to write a check for $1 billion. All you need to do is look and live. Look at the cross. Repent of the sin that Jesus died for there. Look at the cross and believe that what Jesus did there, he did that for you. Look at the cross and receive it by faith. Personally receive that into your heart and make it yours. Amen. Look and live, period. It's that simple. There's unbelievers sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You're not saved. You never prayed a prayer to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. Listen to me. You've already been bitten, which means you're already dying. And if you don't look to the cross, you're going to go to hell. You have no idea. You have no idea how close to hell you really are. Nanosecond this service is over, you get up out of your seat, you come to the front of this church, you pray with somebody, and we will lead you to that saving faith in Jesus Christ. You can walk out of this church today knowing where you stand with God in these last days. There's Christians in this room right now. Notice in the story, God doesn't take the snakes away. God just gives a cure for when the snakes bite you. And the snakes are still biting us, and it's still hurting us. There's still sin in our lives. There's Christians in this room right now. You've got sin in your life you've never dealt with, that you've never surrendered and given to the Lord. Something that has hung on for years and years and years. You need to be delivered from that. And Jesus can start doing that today. Nanosecond, the service is over. You get up out of your seat. You come to the front of this church. And we'll pray. We'll take that to the Lord. And He will start that process of setting you free. How many Christians here today say, Kevin, I'm tired of getting bitten by the same snake over and over again. I'm tired of everybody in my family being bit by the same snake generation after generation. It stops with you today. When you come and look at the cross. Let's pray.